Hey, podcast listeners, before we get started, if the IRS is freaking you out right now and you want to do something about it, you can call me at 833-243-5455 and set up a free 30-minute consultation or log on to watkinspodcast.com. I've got a short letter on that No Frills page. It'll take you about 90 seconds to read. And if you like what I'm saying, you might want to consider becoming a client. And if not, hey, no big deal. Keep listening and subscribe to this podcast so you can keep hearing the free content on how you can fix your tax problem today. So if you owe the IRS, you may have noticed that they have been pretty active lately filing a bunch of liens. And this is the IRS's way of letting the world know that you have a tax problem. These liens are also pretty nasty if you're trying to sell your home or refi to a lower interest rate. It's a pretty extreme measure at the IRS, and it means they want all the money that you owe them, and they want it right now. But there are a few things you can do to get these things lifted short of paying everything that you owe right now. For example, if you owe less than $25,000, a tax professional may be able to get these lifted in about 90 days. If you owe more than $25,000, there are things like the IRS's offering compromise settlement program that gets them off once they accept that. Now, we've helped thousands of taxpayers in an IRS mess, so we can probably help you out here too. We can help you out in all 50 states. So if you have a tax problem, I again encourage you to call me at 833-243-5455 or log on to watkinspodcast.com and set up a time there to talk to one of our tax experts about getting some help today. Now, back to your podcast.
IRS problems are scary, but they don't have to be. Travis Watkins has been helping troubled taxpayers with customized plans to negotiate with the IRS and stop immediate threats to their livelihood
so they can get a good night's sleep again.
Since 1999. Now, here's Travis.
And what we're talking about here today is IRS innocent or injured spouse relief at the IRS. We see these cases all the time coming up with one spouse coming in to see us and saying that a tax liability has cropped up. We're getting a tax bill. The IRS is coming after me because of something that my spouse did or did not do. And the IRS, believe it or not, has some sympathy on some of these cases, depending on if you hit the right notes with them on what's required to become a injured or innocent spouse according to the law. And so let's dive right in and figure out what those requirements are. Here's the general rules for innocent injured spouse relief, and we'll also take a look at what the difference is here also. Innocent versus injured spouse relief. Innocent spouse, what you're talking about typically is a divorced or separated spouse that's coming to see us for a tax problem, and that tax problem has arisen from an erroneous income statement or some erroneous expense that the IRS is saying, no, that was an incorrect expense. And these things usually come up in the context of a audit situation. In other words, the IRS has looked at a joint return and determined that there was not enough income stated on that return, or there is too much expense or a erroneous or incorrect expense that was taken by the couple on the joint return. All right, so that's innocent spouse relief. The next one is injured spouse relief. It's a very close type of situation as innocent spouse, but this one is where the couple is still married. And it happens a lot when there's a dispute about a refund taken by the IRS. And what we're talking about there is they file a joint return. The return shows that they have overpaid the the taxes for the year, and that they are entitled to a refund by the IRS, but something else gets in the way and takes that refund away. And the most popular one is child support of one of the spouses. In other words, they've had a previous marriage, or there was a there's a child from another another situation there outside that joint tax return that's entitled to the refund, and the IRS will go ahead and honor any of those child support orders and take that out of the refund and give it to the court or the child that's entitled to the child support. And the spouse that doesn't have anything to do with that child or that child support order is not happy when the IRS comes in and takes the refund that they've been working so hard to get all year long, and they need to have that portion, their portion of things, returned to them because they didn't have anything to do with this child support issue. Here are the elements of what I call classic innocent spouse relief, the ones that the IRS entertains the most. The first requirement is the innocent spouse filed a joint income tax return. That's very important in this analysis. If we're not talking about a joint, if we're talking about a separate income tax return, then we're not talking about innocent spouse relief. And this is a perfect time to kind of explain what all this whole thing really means. When the IRS sees a joint tax liability, they can come after either spouse or both spouses, their wages, for instance, to try to collect that debt. It is joint and several liability. In other words, it can come after both or either individually for this thing. So when they see a joint income tax return and they see a joint liability, they're going to collect in that manner. All right. So in any other way to be able to break that up, you're going to have to apply for innocent spouse relief. And if we're not talking about a joint tax return, we're not talking about innocent spouse relief. The innocent spouse relief is a program where the IRS will essentially treat the tax liability or the tax return through these mechanisms of law as a separate and not joint and several liability. All right, I think that's worth clearing up in this process. Very important thing, because a lot of cases that are spiraling towards good innocent spouse relief get stopped right in the middle of things because we look back and say, oh wait, there was no joint income tax return actually filed here. So if you're not talking about joint income tax return, then no innocent spouse. All right. Next element is there is an understatement of tax on the joint return that is attributable to an erroneous item of the other spouse. That's what I just talked about there. There is not enough income stated, or there is a erroneous deduction being taken that is also really just parading as an understatement of the joint of the income. So that's the second element. Next element, the innocent spouse establishes that when he or she signed the return, he or she did not know and had no reason to know of the understatement of tax. Okay, so it has to be, this is where a lot of cases get sidetracked, is that this is a fairly difficult standard to meet here, unless the other spouse is, you know, being abused, the innocent spouse is either being abused, or they're not sophisticated and cannot, has never dealt with the finances. things like that. Usually just, well, he usually does it and I just sign it. It may not be enough because of that. Had reason to know. You have reason to know if it's if there's an understatement of the tax. If you're signing this thing and you know that it's a joint income tax return, regardless of who makes the money, that's not the standard. One spouse making the money does not automatically make the other spouse an innocent spouse. All right.
Hey, podcast, quick interruption here. Have you been up at 2 a.m. worrying about your IRS problem again lately? You know, IRS problems have a way of ruining all aspects of your life. They take a toll on you financially, physically, and emotionally. You can never really forget about them as they come back every morning when you wake up. It's time to call Travis Watkins, tax resolution and accounting firm, right now and start sleeping again tonight. Travis Watkins Tax will talk to the IRS for you and help you get the best deal available for your unique situation with the IRS, with programs like the Fresh Start Initiative and the IRS's Offer and Compromise. Call me at 833-243-5455 and set up a free 30-minute consultation or log on to WatkinsPodcast.com. I've got a short letter on that No Frills page. It'll take you about 90 seconds to read. And if you like what I'm saying, you might want to consider becoming a client. And if not, no big deal. Just keep listening and subscribe to this podcast so you can keep hearing the free content that we offer on how you can fix your tax problem today. Now, if you call us in the next 30 minutes, we'll also send you our free confidential insider report, How to End IRS Problems Forever. That number again is 833-243-5455 or log on to WatkinsPodcast.com. Now, back to your podcast.
Next element, taking into consideration all the facts and circumstances, it is inequitable. In other words, not fair to hold the innocent spouse liable for the joint tax deficiency penalties and or interest. So a totality of the circumstances analysis or standard, when you're talking about that in the law or in the tax code, that means alarms are going off. It's going to be a fact-driven, highly fact-driven scenario that the IRS is going to be weighing, both the IRS and the U.S.'s best interest versus the best interest of the taxpayer, which is not always an easy balance, admittedly, to make, especially when your paycheck is signed by the U.S. Treasury. Anyway, next element here, the spouse claiming relief elects the benefits of innocent spouse relief not later than 2 years after the date the IRS begins collection activities. And what that means is the date that the IRS sends a final notice of intent to levy. And this is, I say here, a squishy standard. It wasn't always a squishy standard. It used to be a pretty hard and fast rule that if you're outside 2 years from when IRS collection begins and you're just starting to bring up to the IRS that you want innocent spouse or injured spouse relief, for that matter, then they would say, no, you've missed your window. But they have, through some court cases and from administering this program over the course of years, finally figured out that it's not always an easy determination as to when that 2 years really should have started because of mainly spousal abuse. There are many sad, unfortunate situations where one spouse is just incapable of being able to get out and get relief for themselves in these cases. So the IRS, not totally tone deaf to that, doesn't apply that 2 years always real stringent. Okay, that was the first type of election under innocent spouse, the classic innocent spouse relief. The second type is separate liability election. And this is really another type of innocent spouse relief. It happens, again, just like the classic relief, when a joint income tax return has been filed. And also there is an understatement of a tax on the joint return that is attributable to an erroneous item of the other spouse. That's just like the classic innocent spouse. And under this one, the innocent spouse must be legally separated or no longer married to or living apart from the other spouse for 12 months or longer. This type of separate liability election goes in between the innocent spouse, who is more than likely divorced from the non-innocent spouse, and in between the injured spouse, who is probably still married to the non-innocent spouse. All right. So on this type, separate liability election, if you've been separated, not living in the same household for 12 months or longer, you may be able to get the joint return essentially treated like a separate return. They would separate out the liability based on separate income and separate deductions. Okay? That's separate liability election. The last type of innocent spouse relief is this highly squishy one called equitable relief, and equitable means fair. And the standard here is it would be unfair to hold the innocent spouse responsible for the understatement of or underpayment of tax. And I wrote catch-all in there because it is a catch-all. It's a type of innocent spouse relief that doesn't neatly fit into the categories that we've already gone over. I put in here, watch for fraud, no scheming to transfer assets for avoiding the tax. And what often happens is one spouse will transfer the marital home to the other to try to get away from you know, having that levied, for instance. And the IRS is aware that that kind of stuff happens. So that's not what this is. If you're just scheming to transfer assets, they're not going to give you equitable relief either. And this is a pretty narrow group, I should say, equitable relief, since it is a catch-all, since it doesn't neatly fit in any of the other ones, you're not going to see it very much. Okay? And that's, in a nutshell, what we're talking about here with innocent spouse relief and the innocent spouse election itself. Is taken on an IRS Form 8857. I'll just show you that what that looks like real quickly. That's the 8857. You can get off the IRS.gov site. And it's fairly straightforward there. They want to know about how why you want relief and for what periods, tax periods that you want. They're looking at highest level of education. Remember I talked about there is going to be some look at how sophisticated is the requesting innocent spouse. And that goes to the new or had reason to know of the understatement of tax or the erroneous liability there. They want to know about spousal abuse or domestic violence. We talked about that too. They want to know how involved with the finances and preparing of returns you were as an innocent spouse involved there. And that's a fairly lengthy part of this form, making up a great majority of it. They want to know about the innocent spouse's current financial situation, what their finances look like, what kind of money they look like. It's, again, it's, you're making a request to the IRS, so it's going to be intrusive on what your financial situation looks like. And essentially, they're wanting here a Form 433 collection information statement. And if you're unaware or this looks foreign to you, go back and look at our content on the collection information statement and how to fill that stuff out, because it's virtually the same types of income and expense type of analysis there. Part five, they're looking at domestic violence and spousal abuse again. Are you afraid of the person listed on line five? I mean, they're really getting down deep on this. And then you got to sign everything under penalties of perjury, of course. So that's the form for that.